Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to welcome you to our July 24th Board of Supervisors meeting. If you would you please stand while we have the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing while we have the invocation by Reverend Fletcher Love.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. O God, our Governor, whose name is glorified throughout the earth, we of the Abrahamic faith name you God, Yahweh, Allah, and people of other faiths call you by equally sacred names. So by your presence inspire, guide, empower, enable these your supervisors and those who come before them tonight to transform and transfigure their printed agenda into your agenda, that your will may be done on earth here in Henrico County as it is in heaven, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Mr. Manager, first item of business.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, a request is made for consideration of approval of the July 10th, 2007, both regular and special meeting minutes. These have been transmitted to you for consideration. Motion would be in order.
Okay. Have a motion.
Move for approval.
All right. Motion by Mr. Cackley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I would like to comment that in reading over the minutes, they were remarkably complete, and I did mention that and thank Mr. Lawrence for that. And he did say that he had used the audio version to complement the written report and was able to review things a little bit and get them very clear. Thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett. Madam, do you have any comments this evening?
Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, the only comment that I would provide you with this evening is that we do begin the actual public recording of the meeting this evening from gavel to gavel, which will be available on CD or in electronic form in the morning to any individuals who wish to receive it, including members of the Board of Supervisors. I've so advised you that as soon as you let me know how you wish to receive that, we'll be more than happy to provide it.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Board of Supervisors, do you have any comments? Board members?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
This past week was the National Association of Counties came to our area, and Henrico County was one of the hosts for the National Association of Counties. And there were a lot of people here, 3,500 people. And I want to thank all the county employees who volunteered their time and efforts to assist with that. And actually, a lot of the people in the Central Virginia area that came, because I don't know the numbers of the volunteers, but they did a remarkable job. We've gotten many compliments, and I hope many of you have read in the newspaper about the folks were impressed that firefighters were there when they got off the airplane to direct them to the free travel into town. And I also wanted to remark about the golf tournament that was the Thursday prior to that, which was hosted by Henrico County and Belmont Golf Course, and went to publicly thank the Henrico County for offering that location. It was for the women of NACO, women officials of NACO Leadership Network. And with that and support from the Recreation and Parks folks, which I also want to thank the many folks that helped out with that event, and all the local businesses who participated. I'm not going to name all of them because many were local and many were nationwide. And their support did net the women officials of NACO golf tournament more than $14,500. So I'm very pleased that Henrico County impressed everybody. People from California, Oregon, Mississippi, Tennessee, all over the United States. They were very impressed. And I want to thank everybody and all the residents of Henrico County for assisting us in rolling out the red carpet. Thank you.
So they enjoy their southern hospitality. Any other board members have any comments? Okay. We do have a boy, at least one Boy Scout in the audience this evening, Brian Kiernan. From Troop 766, would you like to stand and tell us what badge you're working on? Okay. Thank you for being here. Any others that we didn't get a list on? All right. Thank you. Come back. Okay. At this time, we'd like to recognize the news media that's covering our event this evening. And with us from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, we have Will Jones. Thank you, Will, for being here, covering our board meeting. Okay, Mr. Manager, I think we're going to presentations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The first item under presentations is an award by the Keep Henrico Beautiful Committee. This is a land level award. I'm going to ask Ms. Christina M. Harris, the chairperson of the Keep Henrico Beautiful Committee, to come forward, if she would. Ms. Harris, would you like to start the presentation? Of course, request a board member to join you when you're ready.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Board of Supervisors, and members of the community. The Keep Henrico Beautiful Committee is comprised of appointed volunteers from each magisterial district. Our purpose is to educate the public about litter prevention, about recycling, and caring for our environment. Annually, we present our Residential Land Lovers Awards and Clean Business Awards, which are based on criteria set forth by the committee. These individuals and businesses exemplify pride in their properties and are a true asset to our community. They keep Henrico beautiful. Most of our awards were presented at our June 26th Board of Supervisors meeting, and tonight, I'll ask Mr. David Cackley if he'll come down, and we will present the award for the land lover in the Three Chop District. The land lover award for the Three Chop District is presented to Jeannie and Roberto Sarmento, and they are here tonight with their children, Marcos, Nina, and Max. If they would like to come forward, please. You see the picture up on the screen? A lush green lawn and flowering trees set off this beautiful home.
Thank you, Ms. Harris, for your committee for putting on this special award for all of us who do land buildings across the county.
We have the title.
Okay. This particular award for this beautiful home in Henrico is very great. Congratulations.
We've got a lot of help here.
I'll tell you, Henrico is a beautiful place to live, and it's homeowners that have pride and take care of their lawns like you do in your yard. It's beautiful. So congratulations, and keep up the good work. You've set a great example for all of us, and we'll try to live up to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, our second presentation this evening is a proclamation for Firefighter Appreciation Month, being August 2007. I'm going to ask Mr. Richard D. McClure, Chief McClure, who is the acting fire chief, to come forward. He will be joined by Lieutenant T.C. Moore and Firefighter Jackson Baynard from the Division of Fire. Also present, I will ask her to come forward, is Candace Schwaldock, who is the program coordinator for the Muscular Dystrophy Association, Richmond District. This proclamation will be presented by Mr. James B. Donati, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are definitely very proud of our Division of Fire and the great job that they do in serving our citizens in emergency situations. But they're also out there, you know, helping the community in other ways, too, and that's what this proclamation is all about. You know, and they're always ready and willing to be at various events that we have at our parks throughout our county, and they're always there and get to show off their equipment and what they do. So we're very proud of them. So with that, I would like to present this proclamation, Firefighter Appreciation Month, August 2007. Whereas firefighters exemplify the most time-honored American ideals of public service and sacrifice, protecting the citizens of our county from tragedy on the home front. And whereas firefighters are highly trained and dedicated individuals who daily demonstrate an extraordinary caliber of character and courage in the face of danger. And whereas, without the exception of recognition and applause, these men and women routinely risk their own lives in unpredictable and volatile situations to ensure the safety of their community and fellow citizens. And whereas, during the past 53 years, over a quarter million firefighters across the United States and Canada have partnered with the Muscular Dystrophy Association, MDA, in the fight against neuromuscular diseases and have collected more than $275 million for MDA and Fill the Boot program. Whereas firefighters in Henrico County unselfishly donate their time and energy to supporting the battle against muscular dystrophy and have raised over $252,526 for the local chapter of MDA in the past 9 years as a result of their Fill the Boot efforts. And whereas through their professional service to our local communities and volunteer work with MDA, Henrico County firefighters contribute greatly to the well-being of our citizens. Now, therefore, it be proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes August 2007 as Firefighter Appreciation Month and calls this observance to the attention of all Henrico citizens while paying tribute to the unwavering service and charitable efforts of the county firefighters. It is signed by me, a chairman, and attested by Mary R. Lawrence, clerk. And I would like to present this to you, and congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Nye. Thanks to members of the board for this proclamation. We greatly appreciate it. Our firefighters do work hard day in and day out for the citizens of the county, and in a number of ways we try to help the citizens beyond the emergency side of what we see. We try to get out in their communities and be a part of the community. Each station is a part of their community, and we have partnered with Muscular Dystrophy for many, many years, and we're glad to be able to partner and help the kids who are disabled with that disease. Thank you.
Manager, next item.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we go into your appointments for this evening. The first item for consideration is board paper 247-07. This is a resolution for appointment of a member to the Board of Social Services. This paper would appoint one individual to the Board of Social Services for a four-year term, which would expire on June 30th, 2011, or thereafter when her successor shall have been appointed and qualified. This paper would appoint a representative of the three child districts, Ms. Ruth Ann Langdon. Motion would be in order.
Move the resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Cackney, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
These folks. Ms. Langdon with us? I'm sure she is.
Mm-hmm. Could you please come down to the clerk?
This is a veteran member of the Social Services Board that has been previously served and coming back.
Oh, good.
Mr. Chairman, members.
Before we move on, there's a young man in the back end. I don't know if we're neglecting him or not. I just have a feeling he might be a Boy Scout. Did we overlook you? You want to hear what you shirt? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, your second appointment paper for this evening is 248-07. This is resolution for reappointment of directors to the Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen Foundation Board. If you recall, a number of years ago, actually 1997, the Board of Supervisors passed a resolution which authorized the creation of the Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen Foundation. This resolution will appoint several persons to an additional term on the Board of Directors Foundation in accordance with the Articles of Incorporation and Bylaws of the Foundation. The paper this evening would reappoint Mr. Michael J. Hobbenstock, Ms. Virginia M. Johnson, Mr. Bruce A. Kay, Mrs. Jeannie Ruth Garrison Moyers, and Mr. Kirk E. Spitzer. The motion would be in order, Mr. Chairman.
Move resolution. Okay.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Supervisor, and members of the board, thank you for having us this evening, and thank you for your continued support of the Cultural Arts Center at Glen Allen. Representing us tonight are the chairman of our board, Mr. Bruce Kay, and our chair of our planning committee, Mr. Mike Hobbenstock.
All right. Gentlemen, any words?
Three more years, yeah. We've got continuity of the board. We've increased the board. You all have been out to the Cultural Arts Center. We're just going to do our best to be good stewards to the vision that Dick had and that the board has supported over the years and make that the first-class arts facility, not only for Henrico, but for the region. So thanks again for all your support.
Thank you for serving.
Thank you.
Mr. Manager, I believe we move into our public hearing items.
We do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. You have two items on your public hearing agenda this evening. The first is 249-07. This is a resolution for approval of issuance of bonds by the Richmond Redevelopment and Housing Authority for the Andover Place Apartments. Mr. Chairman, myself or the attorney can present this to you, but this paper approves the issuance of tax-exempt bonds in amount not to exceed $11 million by the Richmond Redevelopment Housing Authority for the Andover Place Apartments. This is approximately 92 units of the 192-unit facility is located in the county, and the others, of course, are located in the city. And the contract purchase of the apartments has indicated that it will spend approximately $24,300 per unit on labor and materials to improve the safety and living conditions at the apartments as a result of this bond issue. This paper declares that there is a need for the Richmond Authority to exercise its power within the county of Henrico in order that the apartments will be substantially safer. The board's approval does not create a debt or a pledge of the full faith and credit of the county, but simply allows for these bonds to be issued. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is a public hearing, and you may wish to see if there are comments.
Is there anyone in the audience wishing to speak to this board paper, this resolution? Okay. Seeing none, the motion will be in order.
Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I move that we support this resolution.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item.
Second item on your public hearing agenda, 250-07. This is a resolution for condemnation. It is for permanent utility and temporary construction easements for the East Area Utilities Project Phase 3. These will be coming from John H. Burton and Amina K. Burton, located in the Verona District. Mr. Price.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, this paper will authorize the county attorney to begin eminent domain proceedings to acquire a permanent utility easement and a temporary construction easement for the East Area Utilities Project Phase 3 across property owned by John H. Burton, Jr. and Amina K. Burton at 901 Rasmussen Drive. The county's offer of $8,858 for the easements has been rejected. this paper is necessary to maintain the construction schedule for the East Area project.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, board members? How much property are you talking about acreage-wise?
It is 9,774 square feet of permanent utility easement and 5,230 square feet of temporary construction easement.
So less than a quarter of an acre? Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And where is it on what we're viewing now? It isn't the whole...
This is the East Middle School Sewer Project,
mm-hmm.
and this is the gravity line from the school to the pump station.
But where is it on the property? I mean, you haven't
I'm sorry,
you have
another map.
That little hand thing? That, yeah. Okay.
This is Rasmussen Drive. North, their home is here, and this is a creek that runs along here, and the easement runs from here beside the existing easement to this point.
So bisects their property?
Their property line is here, northern property line is here.
It yes, goes, just abandoned. It does bisect the property. It runs parallel and adjacent to an existing easement.
So there is an existing easement. Okay.
Okay. So are we asking for the property or just the easement across the property?
Just an easement across the property.
So they'll still have access to that area in the sewer line under
as long as it doesn't interfere with the county's plan.
Right.
Okay.
So what has been the problem there is that they don't think they're being given enough for the easement or they just are feel that they just don't want to participate at this point in time?
Their attorney has countered with an offer of $35,000.
How much?
$35,000.
Okay.
Versus
$88,500.
What's the size of the storm sewer going through there? You have any idea?
Mr. Petrini might be able to answer that better.
It's
a sanitary
serious
big. I think it's 36 inch, yeah. I believe.
Mr. Petrini can answer that. This is a sanitary sewer that, of course, will be used for the...
Probably only a little bit more reading. And it's, what is it, about 20-foot wide easement there? 36.
It's a variable width.
Mr. Petrini has it.
The sanitary sewer is a 16-inch ductile.
16?
16.
16
inch.
Yeah,
okay.
1.6.
All right.
That's probably fair enough. Okay. And is it buried under the ground at that point, or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when the fallow creek beds, that they're exposed, or you know.
No, sir. It is completely buried, except obviously for the top of the manholes.
Okay.
How many feet wide is this? The needed easement. I apologize.
30 feet wide.
Okay.
Small.
I know you get numbers in square feet. But.
So it's $8,000, and that is the county's view that it's a fair price.
It's based on an appraisal by...
On the appraisal value of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, could you tell us what happens at this point if we go into condemnation? Well, who will make the decision? Is that by a jury or the court make that decision?
It's up to the option of the owner, I believe.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we will continue to do whatever we can to resolve this issue as best we can. However, we do need to proceed with the necessary process in order to complete this project or to move this ahead as quick as possible. So we would actually obtain a certification or certificate on the property and move forward with the use of the property. If we can settle with the property owner before we actually enter the court proceedings, we, of course, will do so. Otherwise, it will, of course, go on to court for an actual determination.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions, board members? Okay. It's a public hearing. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this item?
You come from West Town. Yeah. All right. Move the resolution.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Cackley.
Aye.
Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, at this point in time on your scheduled agenda, we have comments from the public. This is where any individual in the audience can speak to the Board of Supervisors on any item which is not included on the agenda. We will give you, of course, 5 minutes to speak. Should you wish more time, the board, of course, consider adding this to the end of the agenda for further discussion. I have two individuals who have signed up this evening. That does not indicate that you cannot speak. It simply says that these individuals have signed up and we would call on them first. First individual who submitted a request this evening was Pamela, I think it's Ward. Pamela Ward, is that correct? You come forward.
Come down to the podium, please.
Good evening. My name is Pamela Ward. I live at 2850 Fairfield Avenue. I live in fear today. I never thought I would be here to say this. I live in fear of the Henrico County Police Department. Since June 7, 2007, I have had a multitude of problems with a detective, P.J. Larson. He constantly calls me, harasses me, and he also fathers me. When he first started coming to investigate, he said he was investigating a BlackBerry cell phone. When Detective Lawton came out to investigate, he asked my son, could he see his phone? He actually took numbers and addresses from my son's phone, and he went in the neighborhood that I lived in and told people that me or my son stole the phone. And he also told people that we were actually letting other people know like what they were doing in the neighborhood, like different activities that they were doing. He would call me at my job. He would call me at night. He would follow me to different places. And I had already spoke with his supervisor, which was Mr. Hockaday. It did not stop. I went over into the Internal Affairs Department on June the 18th, and I spoke with Ms. Cindy Williams. He came back the very next day with a search warrant. He put guns to my daughter's head and to my husband's head. And he made them sit outside, which was on a very hot day. Right now, I don't know what he's capable of doing next, but I do know I need some help. The problem with Mr. Lawton has gotten so bad that we live in fear to even live in our own home. We sleep at night with all the lights on, and I am on medication for panic attacks and depression. And I do not know where else to go, and I do not know what else to do. And all of this was supposed to be over a BlackBerry cell phone that was stolen.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm, of course, waiting on Ms. Ward to complete her comments. Ms. Ward, I have your information here, including your phone number. Mm-hmm. I will be talking to the chief, and we will look into this. I do note from your indication there has been an internal affairs investigation started. I will find out where that is in process.
Yeah.
I will find out what the issues are. And, of course, I have taken down the names, and I assure you that either myself or Chief Stanley will be talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next individual is requested to speak tonight is D.L. Clivert. Mr. Clivert?
Good afternoon, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, Sheriff, and other members of the board. My name is D.L. Clavert. I'm a Henrico County resident as well as a retired police officer, having served in Henrico County for 20 years. I am here tonight to speak about me being disappointed about our progress. I see the sign that says, or the insignia says, we're proud of our progress and excited about our future. I'm still optimistic about the future, but in terms of recruitment and retention of police officers in Henrico County, we seem to be lacking a lot. I was just listening to the news today, and in the area of RIC, they mentioned on the news that traffic had increased 30%. We're not recruiting up to par with the rate that the county is growing. With new shopping centers coming out in Short Pump, there could be, and the races going on periodically, there could be millions of people in Henrico County being only manned minimally with very, very, very few officers. I don't want to get into specific numbers, and I know the chief is here, and he would be able to get into those specific numbers. But It all comes down to pay. We got officers working in Henrico County who can't even afford to live in Henrico County. We have officers working in Henrico County who can't even afford to do normal activities and recreational activities and extra activities without taking on extra or supplemental jobs for paying health care insurance. And I'm just thoroughly disappointed at what we are not doing right now to recruit and retain police officers in this town. And I thank you for your time.
Mr. Colbert, may I ask you a question? What would be your suggestions about recruitment and retention? What would you share with us?
First of all, before I answer that question, Mr. Thornton, I would like to say another thing that I was saddened about. I was listening to the radio station the other day, and they actually were advertising a payday loan. And one of the people that they mentioned that maybe would fall short of money periodically, he could be a police officer. And I thought that was kind of degrading to compare a police officer with having to go out and actually get a payday loan. Now, as far as recruitment, I think that we have to broaden our recruitment, Mr. Thornton. We have to go nationally. We have to really get out here and aggressively seek people. And don't get me wrong, Henrico County does have a high standard, and they hire good people. But at the same time, we can't keep the good people because the pay is not keeping up with what the private sector is doing. Neither is it keeping up with other agencies on higher levels. So therefore, we, as quick as we get them in the door, they're going right out the back. So we have to aggressively recruit, and the bottom line comes down to pay. And that's the bottom line. Pay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Manager, I think we tried to address that during budget session, did we not?
We did, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. And Mr. Colbert has made some points, which, of course, we are continually working on, including raising the entry-level police officer's position, which is highest in Central Virginia at this point in time, and probably will remain that for the rest of the year until June of next year, when I'm sure someone else will try to top that. But being the highest level entry salary is one thing. We have done a number of other aspects, including take-home vehicles, education, and so forth. So, yes, we are looking at it. We are down currently to 35 vacancies. We have just closed an application process where we had 790 applications. So we will probably close very, very tightly on that 35 or even perhaps even elimination of the 35. Mr. Colbert does make a point which I think that you all are aware of, and that is we do train police officers. Our turnover rate within the Division of Police is not that high, but quite frankly, we do lose police officers to sometimes the federal government. Quite frankly, I can't compete when we're paying a police officer $40,000, $45,000 and he's offered $60,000, $65,000 to go to another level of government. That's simply out of the question. We are trying every way possible, and we'll continue to try. We are advertising in New York, the state of New York, other localities in New England. We are receiving a lot of applicants and are hiring individuals from the Northeast simply because of what we have in Virginia and what we have in Henrico County. But Mr. Clavert's points are well taken. We continue with these efforts in every way that we possibly can to hire these police officers and to keep them in Henrico County, wherever we possibly can. That's why you did assist with increasing of that base salary, increasing the take-home vehicles, some other aspects that we are constantly working on. And we are reducing that number. I'm proud to say, and that's difficult, but I'm proud to say I think we will eliminate those 35 vacancies by the end of this year. But it's a constant effort, and I would tell you that we're probably far better off than a lot of other localities in Central Virginia. But the rate of growth in Henrico County is still here. I would anticipate that once those vacancies are filled, that, of course, we would probably return to the Board of Supervisors in a budgetary process for additional police officers in Henrico County.
Mr. Manager, I want to ask you a question concerning police officers and terminology that was used with me. What do we mean by the fact that within the middle ranks around 10, 11 years of service that there's a compression that's taken place that causes some police officers that have been here much less time to be making the same amount that a police officer that's just coming on for a short period of time? Can you explain it to me?
I sure can, Mr. Glover, members of the board. Compression is something that we see a lot in local government where you have specific scales and steps of salary increases. If you look back, say, 10 years ago when an individual was hired, and he was hired at step number one, and therefore, practically speaking, he might be at step number 10 today. But due to the impacts and the activities going on in the community and other places, we have had to consider increasing the entry-level salary. And in doing that, while we do increase those salaries in the mid-ranges and the upper ranges, they are not perhaps increased as much as the lower level. Therefore, you have this fact of compression. That is, they're moving, the lower level salary ranges or steps are moving closer. In other words, the people in the midsections are not receiving what they believe should be additional compensation. I don't want to put any words in anyone's mouth because I have not had those conversations, but I suspect that what they're telling you is they would like to see every raise that Henrico County has provided plus any additional increase that you have given to the bottom steps. That is simply not possible in one particular area. That is compression. It is something that, governments face all the time in, our various salary levels and ranges, but we are mindful of it. We try to minimize that wherever possible. But when you have a demand, you sometimes have to increase those entry salaries, and that will create a problem in those upper ranks.
Is it possible to overcome the feeling that the police officer has been here longer and making no more than the police officer has been here a short period of time? How do you overcome that morale situation, because it does create a morale if someone's been here a short period of time of making as much money? How do you overcome that as a jurisdiction?
Well, first of all, Mr. Glover, I tell you, if someone's been here probably 5 to 10 years, he is making more than any officer that we hire today. But that is something that we constantly work on with take-home vehicles, with any kind of vacation efforts, with any kind of assistance that we can within the benefits ranks that we provide these officers. This is, again, it's a difficult problem, but when you are looking to the competitive world, just as Mr. Claverta spoke to, when you're trying to get police officers as compared to other jurisdictions, when you need those police officers and salaries an issue, it's one of the first things we have to do is consider raising that minimum entry level. And when we do that, we don't have the luxury of simply saying everybody within the Division of Police and therefore everyone who may be associated with public safety and therefore everyone else should receive salary increases in order to accommodate that rise in salary in that one specific area. It's just not possible from the standpoint of financial considerations. So we try to alter that or try to accommodate that with the additional benefits that we try to provide.
So you don't see a way of overcoming the compression so that the police officer doesn't come down and speak to the board about a situation of pay?
I think
that whenever that happens, Mr. Manager, it's pretty obvious that somewhere along the line there is a morale problem, whether it's perceived or real.
Yes, sir.
And how do we overcome that morale situation? Because it is prevalent within the ranks of the Division of Police, and it's rare that they come and talk to board members, but when they do, I think they talk to all of us. I don't think they talk to anyone in particular, but I'm concerned that we have a morale problem based on pay when we are outpaying other jurisdictions, from what I understand.
Yes, I think it is a difficult situation, Mr. Glover. It is a very difficult problem for us to face, and we try to accommodate in reference to benefits. The only other option, of course, would be a consideration of raising the total salary scale of police officers, which then would affect other entities, other agencies which have similar positions in those categories. And that's where I say, while nothing is impossible, it would be extremely difficult for me to bring that to you and to figure a way to pay for that, not only for this year, but for every other time that you do it, because you would set the precedence.
I think, Mr. Manager, one of the reasons that we're here today was brought about by a situation that needed to be done, but we were unable to bring the Division of Police along with the Division of Fire when we decided that those people that were EMS, EMTs, then Advanced Life, and then Medics, which I think was a good move. I think we should have done it and probably should have done it before. But how do we compensate the police officer that's also out there in a dangerous situation so that it doesn't make them feel like, and you know, for years they talked about Perry. I didn't create that term, but it's out there, and I think it's not going to go away until we figure out how to overcome the morale issue that was brought about, I think, by giving the Division of Fire an incentive for being something more than just a firefighter. And I think that was right when we did it. But I think also, Mr. Manager, that we need to do something to bring about the Division of Police morale to where it fits the Division of Fire.
And we are trying, Mr. Glover, members of the board, as best we possibly can. I have not given up on it. The chief has not given up on it. We constantly, as we advise you during the budgetary process, will continue to work for that. But you hit one of the key points. We had a difficulty in hiring advanced life support and basic life support technicians, which are absolutely necessary for our citizens. We did what we had to do. And I can't tell you that didn't create compression within the Division of Fire. When we had over 70 vacancies within the Division of Police, we did what we had to do. We made the necessary steps to increase the entry level, and we have probably created compression. It's our obligation to work in every way possible, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and I assure you that we're going to continue to do that, to provide the necessary benefits and efforts to make all of these individuals as happy as we possibly can in the jobs in which we provide them for them. Because, quite frankly, if they're not happy, our citizens are not going to be happy with the service that they're provided.
I think one of the things that I wanted to do tonight, and I'm not sure whether the rest of the board, but I think you'd probably do, is to say to you that where there's a situation, the morale is what it might be, I think you need to work on it, and I'm asking you to do it, okay?
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure the rest of the board feels very strongly about being sure that police morale is where it should be, along with all the rest of the employees.
No, I understand perfectly, and I agree with you, and that's something we are working on. And of course, we don't bring you these things overnight. You know that. We have to look at all the implications and impact. But, yes, sir, I'm very concerned about it, and we will continue to work on it.
And, Mr. Manager, tangentially, I would like to add, too, when you're talking about recruitment, you really have to go out into many different places and places we haven't been before. Sometimes, I'm not accusing Henrico of doing this, but some localists will use the expression, which is rather specious, well, we can't find certain people. So I think also, as has been suggested tonight, we need to have a broader field and a person to go out and do the recruitment. And also related to that is that when I kind of look at the demographics also, it suggests that if we have a problem getting certain groups into our police force, probably the time may have come for us to look at the instrument. And usually when this comes up, some persons who probably don't have a humane heart say, oh, we don't want to lower standards. We're not talking about that, but sometimes instruments just are not valid. And to really, when I look at the demographics of our fine candidates today, we have persons of all different backgrounds and ethnicities. So it seems to me that one thing that the police might do if they haven't done this is look at the instrument when it comes to trying to recruit policemen. An instrument makes a difference. You can do many things with an instrument. And so I don't know that we have done that. We have pursued that course. But as you know, I'm for inclusion, and I think that will help, at least to take a look at it. Everyone I've spoken to in the past, where we've had this problem of finding policemen of all backgrounds, have suggested that we need to take a look at the instrument that we use.
We're
I don't know that we've done that, Mr. Mayor.
We are doing that, Mr. Thornton.
We are?
And we will continue to do that, yes, sir. In addition to that, we are beginning to advertise and evaluate advertising in different places. Two of the most innovative and latest things that the chief has brought to me is actually to advertise, believe it or not, in the subways of New York City and to advertise by airplane flyers in Tidewater, Virginia. You know, while those may sound a little strange, they are different and innovative ways of looking for police officers in different areas of the country. That's what we have to do, is to continue to ask ourselves those difficult questions. How can we do this different? What should we do? And to reach out, and that's exactly what we're doing. But again, these are not things that I can do overnight, and we are working on it, and obviously most of the time you see this during the budgetary process. You did approve and grant us the ability to do a number of things during this year. The chief and I continue to work on that to enhance the overall benefits. But we have to be mindful of all of our employees and the impact, and that's what we're doing. But I assure you, your comments, Mr. Glover's comments, Mr. Thornton's, the rest of the board's feelings, Mr. Clavert's, they are all something that we're sensitive to and trying to work on and will work on them.
Mr. Manager, there is, following up with what Mr. Thornton said, it's been about 2 years now, but I did walk through the process that is used for police officers and did review the tests that they're given. I was not given the actual test because apparently they are held, they're a national test, but it's used for police officers and officials in many areas in the state and around the United States. In order to just see if there was any bias on them, that sort of thing. But apparently they've been vetted very well. But how many officers, how many people applied for these 30-some positions that are available?
The last round was just closed, 700, and I actually looked it up on my BlackBerry and have it here. 700, and I think it's 779 applications have been received.
So the 779 applications, you're hoping to get 35?
I could say we could get as many as 35.
Perhaps
we have 35 vacancies at this
point. Because I know that usually that's pretty good odds, actually. Usually it's fewer than that. But again, in reviewing the process, I know it's a very rigorous process, and it is a very demanding process, but we do get very good police officers. And as Mr. Clavert said, they are lured away by the Department of Homeland Security or other companies such as that. So we apparently are doing a very good job of vetting our officers and getting highly qualified officers. But I agree in reassessing doing over, and there have been some suggestions of how that morale can be boosted, and I believe all the members of the board have met with some police officers, but there are some suggestions that were made, and we can certainly talk about this in the future. So,
certainly one thing that I would encourage, Ms. Chairman, members of the board, while the police officers may have met with you, they have brought me nothing, and I don't know that they brought the chief any of this information, and certainly I'm more than happy to look at any of that. Of course, it can come from you or it can come from them, but I haven't simply been advised of any of it at this
point. I believe some of it was somewhat parallel, and I'll just use that term, to the changes we made to the Division of Fire. I'll just use that because before, without discussing it here,
again,
you've seen that some of it was parallel.
There's many things that we can do and look at. It's just a point that I'm more than happy to receive that information and look at it, as another chief is, and we will continue. Again, this is not something that we stop when we finish this budgetary process. We will continue to look at everything that we can do in this particular area, I assure you.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak tonight?
Chairman, I'd like to make one last comment.
Can you come down to the microphone?
Yes, Mr. Burr, we can't hear you for the computers here sometimes, so it's best if you come to the podium.
Yes, Mr. Manager, in response to your last comment about you having not received any information from any employees, police officers, anybody in the Division of Police, basically, right now I'm retired. It's nothing the board can do to me. But you got guys that are working that fear reprisal.
And they're not going to come in here, and you're never going to get anybody to say anything. So I think we ought to be realistic about that.
Lindbergh, let me interrupt you a moment, sir. When those individuals have meetings with the Board of Supervisors on the third floor of the County Administration Building and I walk by, I'm sure that they can have the same meetings with me because I probably know those people better than the members of the Board of Supervisors because of longevity. That's not an issue, sir. Reprisal from me, personally and professionally, is not an issue to anyone in this county.
Well, with all due respect to you, sir, I would beg to differ. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if there is no one else this evening,
move on to the general agenda.
Let's move into your general agenda. The first item is 251-07. This is an introduction of ordinance. It's to amend and reordain Section 2-128 of the Code of the County titled Assessment for Funding of Courthouse Security. This is to increase the fee for courthouse security from $5 to $10. Sheriff Layton.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, this paper would change the ordinance by changing the fee from $5 to $10, which is collected for courthouse security, and this brings the county in line with changes that were made during the last General Assembly.
This establishes a public hearing for August 14th.
Does this thing about the cost?
Sheriff,
goes up.
The fee is assessed to whom? To whom? Anybody that's right. Being
in convicted court. In the court.
Convicted?
Convicted.
Second.
Introduction by Mr. Glover, second by Mrs. Bannon.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
As Chairman, members of the board, as the sheriff sets down, Mr. Bannon had mentioned NACO, and some of you may not know, but the sheriff actually volunteered personally for NACO and spent 3 days at the Sheraton Hotel on West Broad Street putting people on and off of buses, something that he honestly didn't have to do, but I do mean 3 full days of effort on behalf of Henrico County and NACO, and thank you, Sheriff Wade.
That's right. All right, that's good, man. He was there Sunday evening. They took all these 3,500 participants down to Jamestown, and the sheriff was directing buses and didn't get on the last bus to go to Jamestown. So dedication. Thanks, Sheriff.
Also, the manager passed me a note earlier and said the number of volunteers from this area for the NACO or the National Association of Counties event were 400 over the course of 4 days, 3 days, 3 days. 400 people volunteered. I know many of them came as their sheriff for more than one time. They volunteered for more than one day. So.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 252-07. This is also an introduction of ordinance to amend and reordain Section 5-51 of the Code of the County titled Required Tax Year, Amount of Tax, Exemption from Tax. And this is to exempt a releasing agency from the requirement of obtaining a dog license. This will establish a public hearing date for August 14th. Chief Stanley.
Yes, Mr. Manager and Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this paper also was caused by the change in the 2007 General Assembly session. And basically the paper is to introduce for advertisement and for public hearing on August 14th an ordinance that would exempt a releasing agency from the requirement of obtaining a dog license. And, of course, that agency that's being released would be registered with the Division of Police.
Can you give us an example?
Example would be, for example, if the Humane Society released a dog, they would not be required to purchase the dog tag themselves. Mm-hmm. The person who would be adopting that animal would be required.
Thank you. Move the ordinance or introduction of the ordinance.
Second.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 253-07, also an introduction of the ordinance to amend and reordain Section 20-351 of the Code titled Definitions to clarify the definition of gross receipts of businesses.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this ordinance would amend the section of the county code pertaining to the definition of gross receipts for business license purposes. This revision would allow motor fuel dealers to exclude from their gross receipts amounts receipts, amounts received for any federal or state excise taxes. This is consistent with legislation passed during the last General Assembly and thereby makes the county code consistent with the state code. We do not anticipate any significant revenue impact as a result of this measure.
Haven't we been doing that anyway?
There was a change in 2001 that indicated they could not deduct that from their gross receipts, and so it is changing.
So service station dealers, as of today,
right,
they're paying gross receipts on the tax. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mr. Chairman, what happened there was the state tax commissioner ruling that said that they should not be allowed to deduct those amounts. We did not concur with that opinion, and so we did not notify our dealers that they needed to change their methodology. Now the General Assembly has agreed with us, and they've imposed it statewide.
Yeah, I guess.
Move the introduction.
Second.
Move by Mr. Caffey, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 254-07, introduction of ordinance to amend and reordain section 22-220 of the code titled Proration of Tax to provide for the probation of vehicles moving into Henrico County.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, this would amend the section of the county code pertaining to the proration of vehicle license taxes. This provision would allow individuals moving into the county who have a valid vehicle license, decal, or sticker from their former jurisdiction to have this license honored until it expires. Should the expiration occur between February 16th through June 30, the license tax will be imposed by the county on July 1. If the expiration occurs between July 1 and February 15th, then no tax will be imposed until the following license year. This revision is precipitated by legislation passed by the General Assembly, and we think, again, it will only have minimal impact on any revenues we collect. And the public hearing is scheduled for August 14th.
And how are people going to learn under which category they fall when they move in? I mean, how are they going to understand this? Because I understand what you're saying, but if you move in, you're just going to assume that when it expires, you'll go call the county.
Mrs. O'Bannon, they're likely to call the county, and we'll have to find out where they came from. We've actually taken a statewide survey of all the commissioners' offices to find out what their expiration dates and their policies and procedures are to try to have that on hand so when staff members do respond to citizen inquiries, we have educated ourselves as to the answer or the appropriate communication.
So when someone moves into the county, you're hoping they obviously will consider they need to call and find out.
We also send them a document that came about with the creation of the Personal Property Tax Relief Act. It's a form that they need to fill out when they move in. That indicates to us whether their vehicle is being used for personal purposes or for business purposes, so that we would know whether to apply the tax relief to their vehicle or not. On that form, we've now added language that they could provide us information of where they're coming from and if they have a current license or decal.
Is this for a local decal only, or is it apply to a license, a state?
This is the vehicle license tax.
We do not issue a decal anymore, Mr.
I'm just talking about the tax, the local tax. What do we call it now?
The vehicle license tax. Yeah, it is a local tax.
So, okay. Well, what about state tags? I mean, are they allowed to keep those until they expire as well?
This doesn't affect it at all. It's a short answer, Mr. Caffey. This ordinance has nothing to do with that.
Well, it's a question of
it's just to accommodate.
I'm not asking whether we have to enforce it. I'm just asking whether General Assembly addressed that issue as well.
Well, generally speaking, Mr. Gackett, the state license decal, of course, is good all over the state of Virginia. The local vehicle license tax may differ from one location to another, which is what they're getting at here, but the
the state, of course, is good throughout the state.
As long as till it expires.
Yes.
I mean, if you move here, I thought you had to get a new state tag.
No, not a state tag. The state tag is good until it expires.
Okay. So we're in parity with the state.
And they're making that sort of local. It's the same theory as the Strathway.
Right.
That's exactly right.
I was just trying to understand that point. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Motion would be in order for introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Move the introduction of the ordinance.
Motion by Mrs. O'Bannon.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 255-07. This is a resolution. This is authorization to apply for and accept $3,500 in grant funding from the Radiological Preparedness and Response Program administered through the Virginia Department of Emergency Management.
Move that resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Glover. Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I have a question.
Okay. I know you do.
If you're trying to... I'm just interested to know what you're going to do and how this is going to be applied, because this one is, I'm very interested in the radiological preparedness, so I was interested to find out how it's going to be used.
Ms. O'Bannon, what we have learned is that Virginia Power, through the North Anna Power Station,
mm-hmm.
has put forth $700 per year to the localities within a 50-mile range of the power station. And you can accumulate that money for up to 5 years. So Henrico County has not taken advantage of that money at any point until now, and we have the full $3,500 in accumulation. What we plan to do with it is to put in some weather monitoring in our communications center, as well as in our battalion chief offices and many other places across the county, through a commercial weather tracking facility. We lost our abilities through Channel 6 that we used to have in communication through the Doppler due to the change in technology. What this will end up doing, once we get it, we'll be able to apply for and will likely receive a storm safe community designation.
So the money isn't used to educate people on the hazards of radiological problems. You're getting it because of the power plant.
We're getting it because of the power plant.
So that's part of what it's...
And we're going to be addressing radiological issues through our emergency management. We're kind of busy at this point trying to get the
mm-hmm.
Rome Secure and Reverse 911 up and running.
Right.
Like the second, and we'll move on to that.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, members of the board, the next item, 256-07, this is a resolution for award of contracts for group health insurance. Mr. Perkin.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award three contracts in connection with the county's group health insurance program for the year beginning January 1 of 2008. First would be the administration of the self-funded medical and pharmacy benefits program. Would be awarded to Southern Health under this proposal, on this recommendation. In addition, as you know, we're also recommending that the county purchase stop-loss insurance in order to reduce our risk under a self-funded program. That contract would be awarded to Southern Health's parent company, or Coventry Health and Life Insurance Company. And similarly, we are also recommending that the board authorize a fully insured program for retirees who are eligible for Medicare effective in January 1 of 2008, and that contract would be awarded to Coventry. All three contracts would be for a period of a term of 3 years, January 1 of 2008 through December 31 of 2010, with the option to renew for two additional 1 year terms. I would add four additional points that I think the board is very interested in, and that is that the program that would be effective in 2008 would, one, continue the same medical and pharmacy programs that's in effect in 2007, with no change in out-of-pocket costs for employees. That is, that they would still pay the same co-pays in order to obtain the same benefits. In addition, the program would offer no increase to any employees or retiree. That is, no employee would have an out-of-pocket cost increase for the calendar year 2008. And at the same time, we're recommending a decrease in the cost to active families and to the families of active employees and Medicare retirees, and finally, the entire program can be funded through the county's operating budget within existing funds that the board has already appropriated. I'm pleased to be able to recommend this program to you and recommend that you award the contracts. I'd like to try to answer any questions.
And the details of the employee costs and benefits for our insurance will come out later this year when...
Yes, sir, Mr. Cackley. Actually, the Department of Human Resources, as we speak, is preparing the customary information that will go out to employees and retirees to provide them with information in order to permit open enrollment. We would expect that to be finalized as soon as the board awards the contracts, and then we will set forth time schedule along with meetings and other types of information that will be made available to employees.
And it may say, when is this contract effective when the board approves this?
January 1, 2009.
That's where everything goes into effect.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Prodo, you took a long time working on this, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am. This was a complex undertaking, and we are very pleased to be able to present it to the board for your consideration.
How long did it take you to reach all these conclusions? I know it's been more than a year, a couple of years, hasn't it?
The concept of a self-funded program has been studied and analyzed, and comments and recommendations shared with the board and the county manager and others. Certainly for a year or more. The actual request for proposal went out, I believe, in mid-March, and then we went through the normal competitive negotiation process, and as the board knows, we received some offers from 15 firms because that involved more than just the medical program. It involved other aspects as well, but in total we received 15 proposals with about six specific proposals relating to the medical and pharmacy programs. And we went through, the standard negotiation process, and Southern Health was the head and shoulders winner of that process. And as you know, the existing program is on a fully insured basis with Southern Health, and that contract expires December 31 of 2007, and hence we went out on the market for the new program. And Southern Health is here this evening also representing.
I was thinking in terms of over the course of the last 12 years, we've had been fully insured, and I know the manager had been asked what was the tipping point to make it more financially beneficial to the county to be self-insured. That's more what my question was, and I know the manager probably would be the one to answer that.
Well, we actually it indicated to the board when we reached the figure of over $50 million, we better start looking at all alternatives available to us. We actually reached, I think it was year before last, an amount of $52 million. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we brought in a committee made up of representatives of the medical community, hospitals, insurance, pharmacies, in order to discuss the various options and so forth. Based upon a lot of very good information presented to that committee and going through self-insurance as one of those discussions, we came up to the realization and the fact that it was $50 million, that it was time to consider this. And obviously, as a part of that, we came through that total process. I'm pleased with the process we went through. We're able to save money. We're able to save money, actually, for the employees of this county, and I think be in very good control of our future.
And that was my point, was that when we knew that it was a tipping point and you reached a certain amount, that if you establish a committee of professionals who understand the issue and you come out with a good outcome, and I think that's what we've shown in the process that was used to do this. Okay. Move the resolution.
Second. Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Cackley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 257-07, the resolution. This is award of a construction contract for renovations to Dance House. Mr. Proctor.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award a contract to Daniel & Company Incorporated a total amount of $748,000 for the renovation of Dance House. As the board is aware, the facility will be renovated for the use of Recreation Department. And if the board awards this contract, we would anticipate completion of the project by April 2008. It is within funds established for the project under the capital improvement program, and we do recommend it.
When you say renovated, sort of back to its original state as much as possible?
Yes, especially the center portion will be done so and operated as a intended to be operated as a museum by the Recreation Department.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this all internal?
Yes. We've actually made some exterior improvements prior to, just to protect the structure. This is primarily internal, yes, sir.
One of the questions that has come up periodically from the Historical Preservation Committee is space for a Henrico County Museum, and I don't know if this is big enough or if it's the same. It's not something they can really use.
This is not something you would use for that museum.
So this is going to itself be a historic location, and it's just going to be
I don't think it's intended to be the museum portraying Henrico County, no,
right?
Okay.
Primarily to reflect the structure itself.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what year it was built? Just curiosity.
I'm sure we do, but I don't
Karen, do
know
you
that.
Pre 1840 or something? No, 1860.
18 what?
62.
All right. Any other questions?
Move the resolution.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 258-07 is a resolution to accept the Virginia Department of Criminal Justice Services award to the County of Henrico Division of Police for computer crimes evidence recovery equipment. Chief Stanton?
Yes, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This resolution would accept $25,000 with no local match funds from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Law Enforcement Tourism Prevention Program, and we would basically use this equipment in relation to computer recovery of evidence.
So this would be equipment that helps you pull things that have been erased from a computer off a computer?
Yes, and it also allows us to do certain things with cellular phones as well. Mm-hmm. Securing that data.
Excellent.
Okay.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Mr. Chairman.
All right. Motion by Mr. Caffey, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. 259-07 is a resolution to accept the Virginia Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control Local and Rural Law Enforcement Agency's grant program award to the County of Henrico Division of Police for underage drinking enforcement.
Yes, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this would accept $5,000 from the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, and it would be used in the continuation of our operations involving underage drinking.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 260-07 is a resolution. This is for the adoption of policy governing the use of the Armor House and gardens at Meadowview.
Thank you, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The purpose of this board paper is to adopt the policy regarding the use of the Armor House, which is located at 3994 Meadowview Lane in Meadowview Park, and it is anticipated to open in September of 2007. The policy for the Armor House is similar to the policy that's already adopted for Walkerton Tavern. Also included in the policy is a recommended fee schedule for private rental for the use of both the Armor House as well as the grounds. The recommended fee schedule for the Armor House includes the rental rate and discounted fees for Henrico County residents. If you have any further questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Do you have a little bit more flexibility with the Armor House than you do Walkerton?
Flexibility and...
Well, I mean, I think we were concerned about wear and tear with Walkerton as far as it's having, you know, various events there.
Right. The Armor House itself is also a National Register property. It's also a historic property as well. There will be more citizen-driven recreation programs such as art programs that will be in that facility.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the use of the grounds, it'll be done much in the same way that Walkerton is done.
Okay. Just curious.
Okay. Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 261-07 is a resolution. This is for the adoption of policy governing the use of Henrico Theater. Ms. Meyer?
Thank you again, Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The purpose of this paper is to adopt a policy regarding the use of the Henrico Theater, which is located at 305 East Nine Mile Road, which is anticipated to open in October of 2007. The policy for Henrico Theater is the same as policies already adopted for Belmont, Confederate Hills, Dory Park, Hidden Creek, Twin Hickory, and Deep Run Recreation Centers. The recommended fee schedule for Henrico Theater includes the rental rate and the discounted fees for Henrico County residents. The policy, if approved, would allow renters to apply for a banquet license for the Virginia ABC Board for private functions. If you have any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
You got any questions?
No. And the ABC license is when the theater's closed, and so when it's only private function, like you said, it's similar to other functions in the county.
Correct, as our recreation centers. It would function the same way as our recreation centers.
Which means limited. I mean, it's
yes,
not,
ma'am.
Like, open.
You would have to have a banquet license.
Yes.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Mr. Cackney?
Second.
Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I will say that Chesterfield County used our licensing procedure in their facilities, too. That's good. They followed ours. Thank you.
Item 262-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is the Virginia Electric and Power Company. This is for encroachment agreements. Mr. Price?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this paper will authorize the county manager to sign encroachment agreements for county facilities to be constructed in Virginia Power easements. The county manager already has authority to sign agreements when county utilities encroach by prior board action. The Real Property Department and the Director of General Services recommend approval of this paper.
Move the resolution.
Second. Move by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Cackney. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 263-07 is a resolution. This is for the acceptance of roads.
Move the resolution.
Second. Motion by Mr. Cackney, second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other business, Mr. Pender?
No other items, Mr. Chairman.
Adjourned.